Saint, my friend. You did your
wonderful. Thank you so much. You get Saint. Hey, my name's Russ, recovered alcoholic. Boy, what a treat, right? Like, God does for me what I can't do for myself. You know, I got to tell on myself. I walked out of a meeting about, I don't know how long ago it was. Seems like quite a while. And I didn't go back. And I didn't go back because this lady pissed me off. And this gentleman, Fred, I can't even see him right now. Right there, there he is. He said, it says in this book on page 112, read this book. I didn't know it said that. My sponsor told me it said that. But reading the book's not enough. You got to do what's in the fucking book. Excuse my language. You got to do what's in the book. So anyway, I don't want to get too crazy on that. Sarah, thank you. Anybody who has something to do with this, thank you. Finest, most effective, life-changing program on earth, Alcoholics Anonymous is. I was telling a couple people, we're going to need one of these up here because I'm going to get too hot and I'm going to take my shirt off. It's a joke. My girlfriend's like, yeah, right, Russ. Anyway. So we come down here. Oh, I was going to say something about and I'm going to say it now because I might forget. Can you guys hear me okay? Do I need to get closer to this? You want me to get closer? All right, I want you guys to hear. I welcome all the newcomers. I already did that. And I welcome all the people that are just here. Like I said, beautiful. That's a beautiful tree right there. So I was at a speaker meeting one time and this lady spoke. And at the end of her share, she said, if you didn't hear what you needed to hear here, keep going to meetings until you hear what you need to hear. So you may not hear it from me, but God sent me here to give you something. So I'm here to give that to you. I came down here today with my sponsor, you guys. That's Big Dave there. 39 years. Third sponsor. Right? Third sponsor. So where's the problem? The book talks about the problem. You're looking at it. There's a mirror. You know, that'd be it. And then there's another lady here by the name of Janet that came along with us. And when I first started doing it, September 14th, 2016, you guys. That's the day that, actually September 12th, but we'll get to that. We'll try to. Maybe, maybe not. I said, I'm not sure how to pray. And she said, Russ, you just got to start talking. Just start talking to whatever it is. And I thought, okay, I can do that. So thank you, Janet. And then God sent this other amazing woman in my life that has red hair, right? You guys all know redheads are something. She's something, all right. I've learned a lot of things from her, right? And she, I would say that she is, and I investigated this, and I truly suggest, this book suggested, but we're suggesting something else. What a soul flame is. No, I'm sorry, a twin flame. Not a soul mate, but a twin flame. Take a look at it. Anyway, so thanks you guys for coming with me, and we're here today. So September 14th, 2016 is my sobriety date. What it was like growing up as a kid, I don't know, was I a loner? I felt like I was kind of, you know, I grew up without a dad. That don't mean shit, right? But all that means today is that I'm a father to my kids, you know. So I learned something from that. So we got to learn from other people's mistakes. So let's see what happened when I was 11. I started smoking that marijuana, right? You know, marijuana is a big thing today, guys. It's legal. It's free. Does that mean that we use it? The book says we don't use it. It says we don't use alcohol in any form. So we got to decide how we look at that. Started smoking marijuana when I was 11. And I liked it, right? So I kept kind of doing whatever, you know, throughout. I had no problem. I grew up in a broken home, but I had wonderful grandparents, you know, that took care of me. And I had everything I wanted, but I had something about me that I liked to drink. And my first sponsor used to tell me, what's your trigger? I said, I ain't got no trigger, man. Like, I just like to get hammered, right? Like, well, let's drink some beer. No, I'm not a beer drinker. I'm right now. Like, I'm a right now, you know, let's go for it. You know, let's get hammered and do something stupid. And then there was a guy telling me one time, him and one of his good friends in recovery got into a fight. But they're sober. So he says, my actions I can't say because I was drinking. That's why I did that. Because you're sober. And I thought, wow. Like, I got to be careful. So anyhow, when I was 17 and a half, I went to jail for, okay, first things first, I got hit by a car when I was 12, and they took the doctor at the emergency room told my mother, you cannot ride in the car, in the ambulance to Modesto, I think it's Modesto Children's Hospital, no, it's Modesto Doctor's Hospital, thank you. That was my head, I'm telling thank you to you, he reminded me. And they said, your son's not going to live, so you're not going to ride with him. Well, I'm here to tell you the story, and I'm 46 yesterday. Wow. Imagine that. I know I look 55, guys. I got you. But I'm 46. So anyhow, they said, you're not going to make it. And, well, I'm here to tell you the story. So as I look back on it, I'm going to skip back and forth. I'm a little bit nutbag that way. As I look back on it, God said it wasn't my time to go, right? So that's one we'll think about. So then, I was still alive, so then I started working, doing whatever, and we're just going to hit on some stuff. When I was 17 and a half, I got into some trouble at a young age, and I thought it was a good idea to fight the cops, you know, just beat your way out of whatever, and you'll be fine. Well, we could probably take that in two different ways, too. But anyway, so I ended up in jail with two felony counts resist, and a misdemeanor count of battery, which doesn't make sense. But anyway, so I'm sitting in jail, right, and I'm nervous, and I'm 17 and a half, and I'm waiting for my boss, who I was working with at the time, to bail me out. Well, he didn't bail me out. He left me there, right? And I was like, what? And I was a tough guy when I got there, you know, in the middle of the night. When I woke up in the morning, I was crying, right? Like, oh, my God, what am I going to do? So lesson learned, I got this this grandmother who's a saint, and she really... she was there to talk to the DA to get me out of it, right? So I went to another place called the California Conservation Corps, and I was supposed to go to Butte County. We're going to make these stories as short as we possibly can because what it was like was fucked up, okay? What it was like was me. I'm the problem. What it was like was someone always bailed me out. I sponsor these guys that are young, and their parents gave them everything, and I talk trash about it. Well, my parents didn't give me everything, but I had no consequences for my actions. You know what I mean? So they let me out. I went to jail for 11 days, and they let me, and it was, you know, this was against peace officers, right? People that went to school that decided, or whatever they did, to go fight for my freedom, right? And to make sure that I'm doing the right things in the world. So anyway, so I thought I'm just going to beat them up and leave. So anyway, I got OR'd, and there was a woman involved in it too, right? I mean, as far as there was two officers and a lady cop, right? And I'm like, well, I'm just doing it regardless. I didn't care. And anyway, I won the fight, but I sure in the hell didn't win because I ended up in jail. So I got let out on Christmas. Why would they let me out on Christmas? I don't know. My grandma knows how to talk. So anyway, I got away with all the felonies. I ended up going to work at the Conservation Corps, which I was supposed to go to anyhow before all that. Before I did what I did. And then I got a job with Caltrans. I'm sure I'm going to miss something here, and I'm sure something's going to come back, and we may talk about it later. I don't know. We'll find out. But, so I get a job in the Conservation Corps. I don't know if anyone's ever heard of that, the California Conservation Corps. What does it say? Low pay, miserable conditions, and more. $4.25 an hour. At 45, that was our minimum wage at that time. What's the minimum wage today? Fuck, I'd have been high cotton minimum wage today, right? So I did that, and I met a gentleman by the name of Bill. And he liked my style, and he put me to work as an intern. Great opportunity. Well, I screwed that up too, you know, because I didn't have consequences for most of the things I did. So I'm working for this guy for a while. Long story short, I get kicked out of the Conservation Corps because I don't like authority. I don't like listening to people. I don't like people telling me anything, you know. I beat to my own drum, which I still do today, beat to my own drum, but the drum's a little bit easier. You know, I can roll with punches better. And so I get fired, right? And they say, if you work there for 10 months and you get fired, you can't come back, right? Well, this guy, Bill, basically lied to the district director and said, if you don't hire him back, we're never giving you work anymore. Come on, it's the state of California. He has no authority. Anyway, so I got my job back. And then I got fired again, right? Typical, I was somewhere else doing what I wasn't supposed to be doing, got fired. And then anyway, I ended up working for the state of California for 20 years. Okay, so we're going to get to the end of it, right? So typical, anyone else, we could all relate, right? We didn't like to listen. We liked to get drunk. That was our reason to do whatever we wanted to do. What is the reasoning behind it? No parents, bad parents, I don't know. All I know is I like drinking, and it made me get through whatever I need to get through. Like the book says, it's just the tip of the iceberg. It's the thing that would get us through. I think it says something else in there. We may get to it. I don't know. I got some marks in here. Maybe the first person we meet in recovery is going to be the person that's going to get us through all the things that we can no longer drink through. That's verbatim. That's not verbatim. Thank you. That's just what it says. All the things we're going to get through that we used to get through with drinking. So anyway, I lost where I was at. So I got this job with the state of California. I married, 20 years I was there. I married this lady because she got pregnant, and the right thing to do is to marry the lady that you got pregnant. And today, we're not together anymore, but I have a 23-year-old daughter from her. And my daughter just called me today and yesterday, and I have no idea how she turned out as amazing as she did. And her mom goes, it's because their mom. I said, no, both of my ex-wives, you guys are crazy, right? But they're good people, okay? And we have a relationship like that. And then I have a 12-year-old, 11-year-old boy who's amazing, right? And today we were mowing a lawn in a church that I take care of. And that's like blessings, right? Like I went through some stuff with a wonderful woman in my life that God sent, you guys. Okay, I didn't do this shit. Let's talk about 13-stepping. Let's talk about 13-stepping. Okay, so what is 13-stepping? I've heard two things. I've heard, number one, dying sober. But that's not the first thing I heard. The first thing I heard is taking care of that, taking advantage of that vulnerable woman and or man in recovery. Okay, women can do it, men can do it, men can do it. You know what I'm saying, okay? So this whole issue I had to go through with asking this group that she was involved in if I was allowed to talk to her. Big Dave just happened to be there when that was going on, part of that group. Is it God? Is it odd? I don't know. But anyway, I'm going to lose myself. So 20 years. Okay, so the 13th step is funny, you guys. It doesn't really happen in AA. Anyhow, so I have this career, and I'm a boss. No consequences, you guys. Like 38 letters I got in my career. I don't know anybody who's got 38 letters in their career. I would get in trouble, it was shitty. They would take 5% pay for this long or this or that. But when I came to work, I was on it, bud. It may not seem like it now, but I'm a pretty likable guy, and I work hard. And they kept me. Okay, so then let's get to September 12th, 2016. I don't want to miss this. I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit. I'm trying to get into the recovery portion. I don't have a clock to look at. So I have a grandfather who's amazing. That raised me, right? And I'm not going to take credit away from my mom, but you better believe I am, right? My mother is a screaming addict today. Why? I don't know. That's for her to find out. And a grandmother that's a saint. So we'll talk about them later. So September 12th, 2016, I'm standing out in front of the house that I live at, and I'm missing Fridays, I'm missing Mondays. I'm missing Fridays, I'm missing Mondays. They don't know. It's okay. I don't know if anybody's been to the point in their drinking career when you're puking and maybe you're doing something else at the same time. Just get in the shower and do it, maybe? Because we're making a mess. I mean, if you haven't, I don't know if you haven't hit the bottom that I hit. And so, I'm standing in front of my house. You guys aren't a real lively crew, man. We need to get some smiles going here or something. We're in recovery, you guys. Like, God woke us up this morning. I'm glad I talked about that. Let's go back to where we left off at. We left off at We left off at, I've been here 36 minutes. No. We left off at standing in front of the house, okay? Right? Now let's go back to how about when we were being conceived. And I learned something else about this. And we're all going down whatever the channel is to get to the egg. Right? We're going to the egg. And there's trillions of us. Okay? And everyone's fighting. Everyone, we're already losing strength because we're going, right? Well, come on, I'm going to make it. 1,000 of us go there to make that shell in the egg soft enough for me to hit that egg. Every single one of you, the same thing happened. Okay? So, bottom line is, we're supposed to be here today. Whether we believe we're not, sometimes, or whether we believe we're better than everybody, where's the book say we like to be more superior to people? Right? Here I am, Dave, right? All lights on me, right? Got just what I wanted. All lights on me. And then the book says they thought that we thought that's what we wanted. Okay, so we're here for a reason, okay, guys? Each and every one of us is here for a reason. The 2-day person, the 3-day person, you're here for a reason. It may not seem like it sometimes, but things are going to happen, and if your eyes are open, you're going to see it. And let's talk about before we go back to standing in front of that house, 20-year career, missing Mondays and Fridays. Sunflowers. Anybody know the story on sunflowers? Okay, so sunflowers are on a bush, tree, whatever they are. And a sunflower, whenever there's no sun, can you guys hear me okay? Whenever there's no sun, a sunflower turns to another sunflower to get their power. Now, if there's an outside sunflower, it's dead. It's a wrap. Find your sunflowers, folks. This whole room are not your sunflowers. I hate to tell you that. Find your sunflowers, because you are going to be someone else's sunflower. Okay, so I'm sitting here, and I call a buddy, I end up in a rehab. Hey, my grandfather got me there, 94 years old, best man I ever met in my life, except for Dave. And he says, what the hell's wrong with you, fella? I said, I don't know, right? Now, let's talk about that trigger. I'm sitting in a rehab, you know, it's sober living, okay? They gave me a big book, they gave me a 12x12, and they gave me 5 meetings a day. September 12th, I said, I have to do something about this, right? And I've said that more than once in my life, but it's stuck, okay? So I end up where I'm supposed to be. My grandfather drops me off there. I have my last drink of Kessler. I was drinking Kessler at the end of my dream career. And those big bottles, the... Anyway, 6 of those in a 7-day period, right? Yeah, I was puking and shit at the same time. It was awful. So anyway, but, you know, kept doing it again and again. Okay, so you guys can act like you've never done that. I've never done that. Bullshit. We've done it. So I get there 28 days later. My grandfather's at the hospice. My mom calls me, tells me he's in hospice. I said, what do you mean he's in hospice? Why are you calling me now? Well, we didn't want you to relapse. What? Then my sponsor said, relapse is part of recovery. And I hope that I can learn from you or anybody who's had some kind of slip, trip, fall, misdemeanor, whatever it is, so that I don't have to. Because my whole life I've never learned from anybody else's mistakes. I got to make them all myself. There's that one quote that says, you got, what does it say about your mistakes? Learn from other people's mistakes because you won't live long enough to make them all yourself or something. Like, yeah, okay. So anyway, 28 days later, my grandfather, who was a... only role model I had in my life, died. And so I'm laying down there real quick. I'm laying down there on the floor with him at hospice. My aunt calls me on the way there. I got to make it quick. And she says, Russ, I don't want you to do. Look at your cover photo. I love that guy. So my aunt calls me and she said, Russ, he's laying on the floor on a mattress, and don't get upset. He's combative. They're not treating him bad. Don't do the shit you do. Okay. So I go there. I lay down. I tell him. I tell them how thankful I am for have known him. I tell him how much I appreciate what he showed me. He can't hear me, I don't think. Right? He's you know. And then I tell him I love him, and I used to tell him, I'm a goddamn World War II veteran, I tell him. And that's what he was. Retired at 44, you guys. Never held a job since. Died a millionaire. How he did it, I'm not sure. One of the coolest dudes I ever met. I used to come home from school, and he would have a ski bag out, right? His snow skiing bag. Well, I knew I wasn't going to school the next day. I'm going snow skiing tomorrow. But anyway, so I lay down with there, and I say that to him. I'm a goddamn World War II veteran. He does all that, right? And I said, holy shit. And my daughter's there. Man, I'm bawling. And oh, my God. And he dies 8 hours later. So anyway, I go back to rehab, and okay, I'm doing this thing with everything I got, right? Everything I got, I'm doing it. Mind you, this whole time I've had anxiety. Been taking lorazepam since I was, I don't know, what I say I was, 46. Probably started taking lorazepam when I was 24. Okay, I started drinking when I was 11, quit drinking at 40. That's 29. That's a lot of numbers. And then I started taking lorazepam probably 24, 25. I just quit taking that a year and a half into sobriety. So I got this major anxiety, okay? I go back to work. We're gonna get off track. I go back to work for 4 months. And I was a supervisor, right? I started at the bottom, worked my way up to the top, lost a few, went back up. Yeah. Anyway, state of California is very forgiving. 4 months sober, I lose my job. And I'm like, how the fuck does that happen? Like, I'm sober now. Like, don't you guys get it? So anyway, I lost that job, and then, long story short, that grandfather of mine that passed away, he was pretty, his will was spiritual man, didn't go to church, none of that, which I don't either, but he gave the same amount of money to everybody exactly across the board, whether you were a drug addict, you were an alcoholic, didn't matter what you were, you got it. And so, I bought a place, I bought this, I bought that. And then I decided I better do something, so I opened the business. And so I had this business for 3 years, 4 years. I just got my next, my lap, because I upped my business permit. I still have that business, but I have a full-time job now too, which is a blessing. And the guy that I work for, who's a real hard ass, he brought cupcakes to work. And we're a construction company, right? And he's a tough guy. And his son goes, I've never seen him do that for anybody. And so I was like, okay, here we go. Let's get on this kick. Our actions are what speak, right? You can hear me talk up here all you want. But it's the actions that I do every day that make a difference. So anyway, where did I go? I lost myself again. So then I had this 4 year, I opened this landscape business, did my thing. It was successful. I was okay. And then I took this other job. And which is a better thing. So God's been doing things for me since when I was over here. Let's talk about the wheelbarrow real quick. So me and Cynthia, I don't know if you guys met Cynthia, but she's my twin flame, not my soulmate. There's a difference. Look it up. It'll blow your mind, bro. So anyway, we're running on this wheelbarrow because we're building this pad for this shed that this guy's going to haul in. And the wheelbarrow crushed in the front, right? So here's the tire, and it crushed in the front, and she's pushing it. And I'm like, we got to stop. Like, you can't even push it. And she goes, we need a new wheelbarrow. I'm like, yeah, we do. Like, we'll buy one of those blue ones. Then it went out of my head, right? Typical, she knows me. He ain't buying a fucking wheelbarrow. We're going to, yeah. So we're driving to a recovery event down Highway 33, and I'm driving this pickup. I said, Cindy, did you just see that? She goes, yeah, blue wheelbarrow. We turn around, and we get out, all right, throw it in there. I call my sponsor. He goes, I don't think he said it. I said, you think I should give it to a lost and found? He's like, no, man. Was it in someone's front yard? I go, no, it wasn't. I'll take it. I'll take that as a gift from God all day long. So anyway, where am I at? I'm losing where I'm at. I'm getting wound up. So anyway, so I got this job now. Things are good. The wheelbarrow, right? The God sent that wheelbarrow. I still have that wheelbarrow. But now I work somewhere else. But anyway, they have a whole bunch of wheelbarrows and things are good. So then, I get into recovery I got this anxiety I've had for a long time. And I'll tell you what, too, my eyes were good. It has nothing to do with being 46, you guys. I started reading the literature. I put the glasses on. My eyes gave up. I cannot read a big book, big print, without glasses. That's the way it goes. So, where was I? What was I talking about? Okay, so I got this anxiety, right? Janet was there when I first came to the rooms in Los Banos. You just start talking, Russ. Start talking to God, okay? I'm so scared inside myself. You had to go smoke out on the sidewalk. And this anxiety would come over me and cripple me, right? Like it would cripple me. And I drove big-ass rigs, did stuff on the highway, hung off bridges for years. But I always had that little pill that I could pop, right? So I can't be doing that shit anymore. So I would break it down to a 1 milligram lorazepam, which is, what is it? That's the generic name. What's it really called? Not Xanax. Ativan, thank you. We all know about Ativan, right? Game changer, baby. It'll save your life. The book talks about outside help, right? And whatever we call it, psych meds. Just for a little while, guys, not the rest of our life. There's a God there, bud. He's there to help us. That's just the way I feel about it. So anyway, year and a half into it, I'm so crippled with anxiety that I can't walk out there with my fellow alcoholics to smoke a cigarette because I'm scared. Self-centered fear. Fear of what I'm going to not get or fear of what I'm going to lose that I already have. So I start praying every morning. Never did that for a year and a half. I would say a little bit before a year and a half. Every morning when I wake up, I thank God for another day clean and sober. Please give me the opportunity to do it again. Please help me slow down and smell the roses. I told this guy that one day. He goes, I don't like roses. He goes, but I like sunflowers. I said, me too, brother. Just slow down and smell them. Slow down and smell them. Your life will get better. So a year and a half sober, I don't take anything for that. But I put some in my wallet some time ago. I don't have my wallet up here. Fuck. That's how anxiety used to be, right? Oh, my God. I put some in my wallet some time ago. And I think they're there. But I've never looked. But I think they're there. And that's enough to take this. Alright? You're going to make it. Because that's my issue. My head, right? That's where it all starts. Okay, so let's get in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We're getting sober now, right? There's that pretty guy on that picture. I don't know how much time I have left. So it says in the book here. See, so it's what it was like. What happened. September 12th, I woke up. September 13th, I called a buddy. State of California sent somebody to me, which they didn't have to, because it's not their job to do that. Sent somebody to me to take me to rehab. My blood pressure was 198 over 171. I went to rehab, had my last drink, did my thing, got a big book, got a 12x12, started doing the work, watched the other people be idiots in there, okay? I'm looking at them. I'm judging them. What am I doing? I don't want to be like that. I get to a blood pressure machine. 11 days, 198 over 171, folks. 11 days later, 110 over 70. If alcohol's not poison, I don't know what is, but it's point blank, right? And I'm a big dude. I used to be bigger. You know, I used to lift a lot of weights. Joke, you guys. So it says here, so anyway, that's the path we're taking, right? That's where we're heading. That's what we're doing. And like Fred said, we could read it. We can read it. 112, read the book, but it's not enough. So what am I looking for in here? I'm looking for appendix where it says here, it's highlighted somewhere. I didn't put a thing here. But it says right here, We of Alcoholics Anonymous. This is page XIII in a fourth edition. So I got some guys that I work with, and sometimes their fourth edition is different than my fourth edition. I'm not sure why, but it's weird. But it says, We of Alcoholics Anonymous are more than 100 men and women who have recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. To show other alcoholics, and we have people out here that say they're alcoholics, right? I'm an alcoholic. Am I sweaty? My armpits and shit? I'm an alcoholic, right? I know some people that are addicts of a really special kind. To show other alcoholics precisely, which is exactly how we have recovered, is the main purpose of this book. How am I going to get sober? Well, I don't know. I guess I'm going to get in this book. For then we hope these pages will prove so convincing. That's without a doubt convince you. But your head's going to get in the way, folks. Remember that. Your head's going to get in the way, or the devil's going to play tricks, or temptation's coming, or the tests are coming, or what am I going to do? Have some sunflowers, folks. We think this account, we're convincing that no further authentication will be necessary. We think this account of our experience will help everyone to better understand the alcoholic. Many do not comprehend that the alcoholic is a very sick person, and besides, we are sure that our way of living has advantages for all. So, does that say not just alcoholics can benefit from this program? What's that clarity statement? Not the clarity statement, that's NA. What's that one statement? When anyone anywhere reaches out, I want the hand of Alcoholics Anonymous to be there. And for that, I am responsible. I was listening to my sponsor speak, I don't know when it was, a few weeks ago. That does not say alcoholics. That says anybody. That's holding the door for kids, for dudes, for old men, for old women, not just pretty girls. And you guys out there understand what I mean by that, I hope. Okay, where am I going now? We're going to another spot right here. Page XVI in the fourth edition of my book. It says, though he could not accept all the tenets of the Oxford groups. They're talking about Bill Wilson and the Oxford groups. If you don't know about that, look into it. He could not accept all the tenets, which is their ways, their steps, their whatever. He was convinced of the need for moral inventory, confession of personality defects, restitution. Can you guys hear me all right? Restitution to those harmed, helpfulness to others, and the necessity of belief in and dependence upon God. How did a guy tell me, what's your God's name? I said, God. He said, well, that's not a God. I said, well, it's mine, brother, and it works, so that's the way I'm going, right? That's the way I'm headed. So right here on page 44, how'd they go? First step is XI to 43, and 44 to 63 is step 2, and then 63 is 3 and all. Anyway, we'll have to get a book and check it out. It says in the preceding chapters, okay, I didn't always run out of the big book, you guys. My first sponsor took me through the steps through the 12 and 12. Amazing book. There's more marks in my 12 and 12 than my big book. It's a run-on of the big book, right? It's more specific to what's happening. Anyway, it says here in the preceding chapters, you have learned something of alcoholism. We hope we have made clear the distinction between the alcoholic and the non-alcoholic. If when you honestly want to, you find you cannot quit entirely, or if when drinking, you have little control over the amount you take, you are probably alcoholic. It's up to you to decide that. It's not up to me or anybody else. But I think if I look at my pattern, it's pretty obvious. If that be the case, you may be suffering from an illness which only a spiritual experience will conquer. Year and a half sober, you guys, I was trying to reinvent this program. No, they don't know I'm going to change it. No, there's got to be a better way. And then finally I got into this work. And things have happened in my life that they're spiritual, bud. The wheelbarrow spiritual. There's a lot of things that we could go on about, but it says that we have to have a spiritual experience because that's the only thing that will conquer, which is beat that obsession. So step 12 says, I like step 11 though, soft prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. So that's stay in my own lane, right? That's live and let live. God, where do you want me today? What's that one book? Dr. Bob, and he talks about meetings are just a bonus. Contact with a higher power is what needs to be done every day. But anyway, since having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to alcoholics and practice these principles in all our affairs. So 1 through 11 is, it's actually 3 through 9, page 63 to, I can't remember. But anyway, the work's in the book. So that's what I had to do to change the way that I act, because my thinking has a hard way of changing. And it's the action that I have to put in there that makes it change. And that down here on page 87, it says, as we go through the day, we pause when agitated. Anybody relate with being agitated or doubtful? Can anybody relate to being agitated or doubtful? And ask for the right thought or action. We constantly remind ourselves that we no longer are running the show. Humbly saying to ourselves many times each day, thy will be done. I really like to share this in meetings. Sometimes it may be verbatim, sometimes it may not, but it says, we are then in much less danger. So we're not free and clear, folks, but we're in much less danger, right? We might be on a better plane of excitement. Can anybody relate to excitement? Yeah. Could be bad excitement. Could be I'm pissed off excitement. Fear. Anger. Worry, self-pity, or I'm 100% on this. Foolish decisions. Anybody ever done that? Right. Page something in here, it says, if I found a place in the big book where it says, congratulations, you're done with the steps. Have a good life. It's a program for life. I was sponsoring a lot of guys for a lot of time, and it was getting too much. I might even put some monkey wrenches in some relationships with working with too many guys. You know, that book says if a guy doesn't want it, step away, find the other person that might want it. And I say guy because obviously I'm a guy and I don't work with women that way. Not today anyway. So a couple more things here. When I start doing this work with people, step 6 and 7 is 2 paragraphs in the big book. And I didn't realize how important steps 6 and 7 were until 6 and 7 really showed up, because I didn't have that alcohol or that drug or whatever it was to work my way through that stuff. And it talks about that. It says, page 65 here, it says, we ask God will certainly forgive our derelictions. Derelictions. What's a dereliction? That's a failure to fulfill our obligations, but in no case does he render us white as snow and keep us that way without our cooperation. Like, I got to put in work. I got to drive down here when someone asks me to come share somewhere. I got to do it, right? I got to come see people. I got to show them that I'm willing to do this. You know, I worked, I don't know, I probably got paid for 40 hours this week, maybe a little more because I had someone else working for me, but I was probably at work for more like 60 hours this week. But I got to be willing to put in that extra effort, right? Because it says, my cooperation, that is something we are supposed to be willing to work toward ourselves. He asks only that we try. You got people that say like this, there's no try, there's just do. Bullshit, man. It's try, it starts with try. As best we know how to make progress in the building of character. That's 6 and 7. Where it talks about, we're going to get to it. We may not. It talks about when we try, what the hell does it talk about? What the hell was I talking about? Oh, our character defects. It talks about when it comes to comfort and character defects is usually thrown out the window because we want some comfort. You know, I was driving home from a job 2 days ago. And when I showed up, so what I'm saying, I think I'm going to wrap this up. I got how many more minutes? I got a few more. Let's talk about, there's one thing that I really want to go over real quick. So the difference between the boys and the men is the difference between striving, which is trying, right? Bill just uses a lot of words for the same thing. How many? For a self-determined objective and for the perfect objective, which is God. But I want to go to another thing here that I want to read to you guys, and I want to tell you a story, because I like telling stories. I don't know where the hell I put it. I don't know where I marked that, but I'll tell you what it says. It says right here. We're going to go through this. But again, we are driven by the inescapable conclusion which we draw from AA experience. That we surely must. Okay, this is a program of suggestions. What is must? I don't know if you've ever been in a union or read a union contract. Excuse me, that was bad. But that was that burger, wasn't it? If it tells you you shall do something, that is a must. And if you don't do that, that is a being fired offense, right? So you shall or you must means you have to do it. Try. That's what it says. That you must try with a will or else fall by the wayside. A will is self-choice and wayside is give up, right? I've gave up a lot of times in my life. Can anyone else relate to that? To anger, to selfish, to whatever, to a lot of things. At this stage of our progress, we are under heavy pressure and coercion, which is force or demand. Someone put the definitions in my book for me. To do the right thing, right? What's integrity? Can anybody tell me the definition of integrity without looking at their phone? Are there phones allowed at this meeting? They should be thrown in the trash at a meeting. It's doing the right thing when no one's looking. What? But someone's always looking. Okay, so it says, we are obliged to choose between the pains of trying and the certain penalties of failing to do so. So it might hurt to try, you guys. But if you fail to try, you're going to suffer consequences. That's what it says. So anyway, let's go back to daily life. So we got this new guy that came to work for a company that I just started working for. A small company, mom and pop shop, good stuff. And the first day we all came to the shop at the same time. The second day I had to pick him up because they blessed me and they gave me a work truck. I don't have to drive my own truck. It's great. Nice truck too. And so, big Ford F-350, big diesel anyway. We feel all tough, ego driven, okay, anyway. So, I show up to this guy, we start at 7. It's 7:02, I gotta text him. He finally comes outside, I'm like, bro, like, what happened? Then we got to go to his car to get his work clothes. He's got his PJs on. And I'm like, wow, this guy's got to have some addiction problem. There's got to be something. Like, that 41 years old, I'm a grown-ass man, he said. All right. Day was the day, whatever. I take him home. I said, okay, bro, I'll be here tomorrow at 7. I'll probably be here at 6:50, but when you walk out your door at 7, I'll be here. You need to call me before you're around the corner. I go, bro. You need, and this is where I pushed it a little bit, I'll take my part in it. I said, you need to be on the front sidewalk with your lunch bus waiting for the school bus. My part in it. Probably shouldn't have belittled the man, but anyway. It was funny to me, right? So he says, anyway, next day I get there, 7:02, the guy's not there. So I'm debating just leaving. And then he comes out, all this stuff, right? And I can't let it go, you guys. I can't. And I says, hey, man, we started at 7. Mind you, we got to go to his car to get his work clothes again. Right? The car's just down the road, but still. So he says, you know what, dude, you're pissing me off over a minute. I said, look, bro, does somebody call me and wake me up and say, okay, it's time to go get in your truck and go to work? I said, they don't, bro, because that would only hurt me. I said, I'm not going to hold your hand off. F you, Russ. Over 1 minute, he says. I said, how about over? What does it look like to you guys when she showed it? Are those cherries? So I tell him, I don't think you get it, bro. And he goes, you need to call me. I said, I'm not going to call you, man. You need to grow up. And he goes, you know what? You're a POS. You're a piece of shit. And I went, huh. And then he told me to suck something and do something. And I was like, wow, bro. And you ever got hit when you were a kid, passenger seat backhand? You guys haven't? I have. I couldn't dodge him. So I'm going to hammer punch this dude. No, Russ, you're not going to do that. So we make it through the day. Bickering all day. It's awful. And the lady we're working for, she takes me out front. And she says, Russ, I'm going to pay you more money today. I said, oh, why are you going to do that? She said, because I saw what you had to deal with. So she didn't even hear what he said, to suck this and to lick this, and I'm a POS. And I thought, wow, right? And so then the boss shows up, and he walks up, and he goes, what's going on, guys? And I was just going, I'm going through it, right? I'm good. I'm going to make it. And I could see the compassion in this man's eyes. And I thought, wow, somebody called somebody. Somebody said something. So the guy threw his hammer a few times, whatever. I'm trying not to take his inventory. I'm trying not to hammer punch him and all that stuff. Because that's the answer, guys, right? That was the answer for everything. Let me just raise some hell and cause some damage. So anyway, so we're driving home, and this anxiety comes over me so bad that I want to stop. I want to pull over. But I just start praying, right? Serenity prayer, right? Reasonably happy, it says in the long version of the serenity prayer. And I believe 100% by reasonably happy. It's a good level to set yourself to. And so I made it. It passed, right? The sense of ease that comes from a few drinks, right? It says in the book. Well, I had a sense of ease that I didn't have to drink for. It just came. So anyway, we're going back to the house, and probably an hour before that, my boss had texted me and said, hey, I need you to come by the shop or call me after work. And I was like, oh, shit, you know, what the fuck? Am I in trouble? Typical, what did I do wrong? What happened? And so I get down there. I text him. I said, ? He said, nothing to worry about. Just you come. So I dropped the guy off in his house. And I had a pretty good feeling that he was losing his job that day. But he wanted to leave some tools in my truck. I shouldn't say my truck, because it's not my truck. But it's the truck I drive. I'm responsible for it. And so I get to the shop, and this man who's he beats to his own drum, you know what I mean? He's a do your job, come on, what are you doing? You're slower than my grandma, you know, type. But the compassion I saw come off of his face when he apologized to me for me having to go through that, and that was all programmed that I didn't hammer punch nobody. That I didn't start yelling. That I didn't put up a fight. And then his son, who's the next owner of the company, he's like, Russ, like you were tested today. And then the grandson, who I work with quite a bit, I tell him every day is a test, bro. Every moment is a test. And he lights up. How many more minutes? And he lights up. And when I was telling my girlfriend about it, because I'm a tough guy, can't you see how tough I am? It touched me so much in my heart that my actions can make somebody see that. Or my actions might make them not be so rough around the edges. But the other character that lost his job, who owed me $106, mind you, because I gave him my grapes and my life-changing green granola bar will change your life. You guys ever heard Halt, right? Put a green granola bar in you. You'll live. You'll make it. I gave him my grapes and my green granola bar. And he ain't never, even though he would tell me I was a POS and suck his this and lick his that, I'm like, what, bro? So it's my actions that do it. So bottom line is, we're all here for a reason. And if you didn't hear what you need to hear from me, keep going somewhere until you hear it. Now, real quick, let's talk about the corn cob. Don't get your minds out of the gutter, you guys. I get it. I was talking to a woman about sunflowers. And she goes, really? I go, yeah. She goes, listen to this. She said that a corn cob, I got a minute, a corn cob inside of the husk on the, I don't know what you call it, the stalk, all the hairs that are sticking out of that corn cob, each one of those hairs runs to a kernel on the cob. And every single one of those hairs has to be pollinated. I checked on it, you guys. I didn't believe her. Individually. Or that kernel will not develop. Okay, so my thought process on the human body, the octopuses that we can go on about, but I don't have time for that. God is an amazing thing. Okay, a higher power is what we need to find. And if he could make that corn cob, I could visualize that corn cob. I don't know why I can, but I can. I understand it. That each hair goes to make that kernel. There's something bigger than us out here that put us here today. So the trillions of semen that went down the thing and the thousand that helped you get there, thank them, bud, because you guys are here. Trust God, clean house, help others. Thank you, guys.